O Lord and our God, speak to each one of us in these next few moments about the gift that comes from your Spirit called faithfulness. In Christ's name, amen. I want to begin this morning by telling you a sort of lengthy but remarkable story. You can find this story well documented on Amazon Prime, perhaps Netflix, clearly on YouTube. It was a story that took place in real life over 100 years ago on December the 5th, 1914, because it was on that date that Ernest Shackleton embarked on what he called the last great polar expedition. He had been to that region of the South Pole nearby several times, and this time his goal was to cross the continent of Antarctica by dog sled, an uncharted journey of some 1,500 miles across the most uninhabitable terrain on our planet. His crew of 27 was handpicked, and this is hard to believe, but the story says they were handpicked, those 27, from 5,000 applicants. I can't imagine that many people wanting to go to the South Pole at that time, but they did. And so Shackleton picked his crew of 27 for that journey. And the ship that would carry them there was named Endurance. And for 6 weeks, from a South Georgia island there, a whaling station, they embarked. And for 6 weeks, they fought their way trying to get through the ice floes to the South Pole, to Antarctica. Until finally, in trying to do that, their ship became frozen in the ice pack, the winter ice pack. There was nothing that they could do but wait until spring, and hopefully the ice would melt away from their ship and they could sail away. But after 10 months, 10 long months in that winter wooden ice box, when spring arrived, instead of releasing the vessel, the ice just tore it apart. The pressure was crushing. They were able to salvage what they could, and they made camp on the ice, that giant ice floe that was heading out, they hoped, to Paulet Island. But finally, they realized it was heading out to sea. On Paulet Island, they had provisions, and when they could see they were headed out to sea, they drugged those small whaling boats that became lifeboats for them. They drugged them, each weighing well over a ton. They drugged them out to the ocean and set sail. They set sail, hopefully making it to a place called Elephant Island. And before they launched, Shackleton gathered his crew together and said that they had one mission now, and his mission, he told them, was to get them home safely. Amazingly, fighting raging seas and navigating around icebergs, they made it to that little uninhabited rock called Elephant Island. And for the first time then in 497 days, they set foot on land. It wasn't dry land, it was all ice and snow, but they were far from safe. No one on earth knew that they were there. Most people indeed believed they had already perished. And so with provisions running out, Shackleton decided to take one of the small lifeboats, those small whaling boats. They carved up the other two and made a top for it so water would not sink it, the waves, and they headed to that whaling station on that South Georgia island for help, just five of them, leaving the other 22 on Elephant Island. And as he shoved off with that small crew, Shackleton said to those that remained, the 22, he said, "I promise I will come back for you." And for 14 days, that small crew of five battled gale-force winds and 20-foot seas. They took only four navigational readings by the sextant that they had, just one, as they bobbed on that ocean. And if they had misread that sextant just by one degree, if they were off by one degree, they would miss that South Georgia whaling station and be lost at sea. On the 14th day of that journey, they finally spotted land. They had to wait until the morning to get the incoming tide to make it to the whaling station. But what happened is that night there was a raging storm, and they ended up on the west side of the island, some 22 miles from the whaling station. That side of the South Georgia Island, it had never been charted. It was mountainous to go over it to get to the whaling station. And without any hiking gear, three of them, Shackleton was one of them, they began to climb across that mountain. And it took them 36 hours to reach the whaling station. They knew that if they fell asleep, they would freeze to death. If there was a blizzard, they would freeze to death. And so they had to stay awake to get to safety. And they walked into that camp like walking corpses. And Shackleton, it's an amazing story, he allowed himself one night sleep before setting out to rescue the rest of his men that he left on Elephant Island. His first three attempts to get to that island failed because of the severe ice floes that prevented him from getting there. But after 3 months of trying, Shackleton finally made it. And as he approached the island, he took out his binoculars and looked, and he began to count 1, 2, 3, and finally he saw all 22 of them standing alive on that island. And he said to a mate, "They're all there. They're all there." Shackleton, the point is, Shackleton kept his word. He delivered every one of those men safely home by the grace of God. That's loyalty. That's commitment. And that's faithfulness on the part of Shackleton to do that. And these words, loyalty, commitment, and faithfulness, to me, they embody everything that the stewardship season of the church is meant to be. About making gifts of our time, our talents, and our resources to the Church of Jesus Christ. Loyalty, commitment, faithfulness. Faithfulness, as we noted, was listed as one of the gifts or fruits of the Spirit, as Paul calls it here in the letter to the Galatians. Faithfulness is God's vision for our relationships with one another in the body of Christ, the church. And so the question for this morning is, what is faithfulness and what does it look like in the church? Faithfulness turns out to be one of the most common and frequent and important words in the New Testament. And faith, the root of the word faithfulness, of course, is the basis of our relationship with God. It is by faith, by grace and faith, that we are saved. To have faith in God is to put our confidence in God. When God says, "I will provide for you," the story and the record of God's revelation of God's self in the Old Testament is God provides when God promises that. When God says, "I will be with you," God is there. When God says, "I will forgive you," God forgives. You see, we trust in a God who is trustworthy, who is faithful. And in this fifth chapter of the letter to Galatians, the Apostle Paul takes this word that usually describes God's relationship to us, and he uses it to describe our relationship with each other in the body of Christ. Faithfulness. In the same way God is faithful to us, God calls us to be faithful to one another. The English dictionary defines faithfulness as loyalty, dependability, a firm and unchanging attachment to a person, to a truth, or to an idea. And that definition in and of itself assumes that there will be challenges to that loyalty, like the passing of time, like disappointments that take place in relationships, like setbacks, even danger. If you would have told me last year or any time in the past that in 2020 we would not be having in-person worship for many months and that we would have a stewardship season when we are not having in-person worship, I would have laughed at you. I'd said that will never take place. But it has. I shared the story of Shackleton's rescue of his crew because it is a tale of faithfulness, an amazing tale of that. He had to overcome so many obstacles to keep his promise, and so do we at this unprecedented time. And faithfulness means keeping your word, keeping your commitment, no matter what. For our young people this morning, I want to say to you, I want to speak to you directly this morning. This happened to me as a young person. Let's say, for example, you promise a friend on a Monday or Tuesday that you'll come over that Saturday and play video games all day. But then another friend calls you on Wednesday and has a better offer to invite you to something. What do you do? Well, I hope you're a faithful friend and you keep the commitment you made to the first friend. If you're a faithful friend, you go and play video games that Saturday. But faithfulness, being true to something, it seems to be a vanishing virtue in these days. People today, I find, they stick with something for as long as it works for them, and then they're on to something else. I'll never forget a pastor friend of mine was telling me about his meeting with a young couple for their upcoming wedding, and he was meeting with them on this occasion to go over a selection of their wedding vows, and he said to them, he said, well, why don't you say on your wedding vows the traditional vow, pledging your faith to one another in sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, in sickness and in death. And they winced when he said those words, because they said those words are too ominous. They seem too permanent. Let's do something that's more modern. But you see, loyalty, commitment, and faithfulness are rare commodities these days. It's hard to know who or what you can count on anymore. And sometimes it's even hard to know during these political times what to believe, isn't it? Dr. Lewis Smedes, an author and professor of theology and ethics of Fuller Theological Seminary, he has written these words. Somewhere people still make and keep promises. Somewhere, he writes, they choose not to quit when the going gets tough because they promised to see something through. Somewhere, he writes, people even stick to lost causes. They hold on to a love grown cold. Somewhere people still dare to make promises and care enough to keep them. It seems to me that Dr. Smedes is talking about that somewhere as the Church of Jesus Christ. Surely the body of Christ is the place where people should keep their word to one another, even when it's inconvenient or uncomfortable or difficult or costly. Which brings me to a question about the church, wherever it is this morning. And the question is this: is the church just a collection of individuals, of people, or is it a community in which people are called to be faithful to God and to each other? It wasn't working. It wasn't working for them in that church in Galatia that Paul had started as a missionary church. And one of the reasons Paul wrote this letter is to include the list of those virtues, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those gifts he mentions is faithfulness. And when you read Galatians, you learn that Paul and the Galatians had gotten off to a really good start initially. He came to them at a time in which he had some physical malady, some physical weakness, some sickness. But they welcomed him nonetheless, and they cared for Paul, and they came to faith in Christ under his teachings. But after he left, some other teachers came in and began to undermine his ministry, teaching a different gospel. And the Galatians abruptly abandoned Paul, we learn in chapter 4 around verse 17. And Paul thought he could count on these brothers and sisters in Christ to stand by him, to remain true to the gospel that he had taught them. But when they abandoned him, It hurt Paul, and it revealed to him, at least, and now to us, as we look back on the book of Galatians, the letter, it reveals those people's spiritual immaturity, that they could be swayed so easily by false teachings. And what Paul, I believe, is trying to say to them was that they were not a collection of individuals. They were a community of faith committed to Christ and to one another's well-being, just as they had cared for him. All you have to do really this morning is to understand this as we look at Jesus Christ. Jesus was faithful not only to his heavenly Father doing God's will, but to his friends, those disciples that he had handpicked and called. Like Shackleton, he had hand-selected these first followers. He fed them, he encouraged them, he prayed for them, he challenged them, he forgave them, he prayed for them. And it cost him heartache when they disappointed him and when they doubted him and when they fled from him after his arrest. But Jesus never quit on them. After his resurrection, he called them together and he assured them of his continuing love and care. "Surely I am with you always," Jesus said, "until the end of the age." Finally, this morning, I want to mention something Paul said before the prayer time. He mentioned the death of Phyllis Donnelly. She and her daughter, Nancy, moved out to California, Northern California, in 2016. And to let us know of her mother's death, of Phyllis's death, Nancy sent us a letter this week to the church. She sent it to you. And this is what it says. I'll read a portion of it to you. "Yes, in 2016, we moved to the other coast and traded hurricanes for wildfires." She goes on to say that her mother was a lifelong Scottish Presbyterian who sang with gusto in a beautiful soprano voice here at Northwood, and especially appreciated the large print hymn binders when they came out, and that she enjoyed the pastors here over many years. She writes that she absolutely loves Stephanie and the Northwood music program, especially the many varied and excellent guest soloists and the Kirkin of the Tartans service. "At the age of 92, I was there with my mother on Easter when she walked up swiftly up the aisle to join the other members of the church and the choir in singing the Alleluia chorus. She had been doing it for years, but she never mentioned it to her family. On her behalf, I can't thank you enough for the wonderful live streaming services you have made available in 2020. We watched together many times before she died. The first time she saw them, she declared, it's a miracle. Attending Northwood Presbyterian was a big part of my mother's life for 30 years. Thank you very much, and best wishes as you plan to reopen in-person worship as soon as it is safe. I continue to watch live stream. Yours is a wonderful church, rich in spirit and generosity, faithfulness, talent, and Christ healing and joyous message. Very sincerely, her daughter, Nancy Donnelly." And I would simply add to that, somewhere there needs to be a place where people keep their word to one another, no matter what. And may the Church of Jesus Christ this morning, wherever you are, may it be that for you. Let us pray as we close this message. O Lord and our God, you are faithful and you are so good to us all the time, all the time. And we thank you for all the kinds of wonderful ministries and activities that have gone on in this place for so many years. But Lord, we realize one of the greatest things that we have, one of the most striking things about this church, isn't the building or the ministries, but rather the relationships of the people here in this place, who now are so faithful through the live streaming and their giving, and continue to be so faithful to one another, joined together in the love of God, partners in Christ's service. Remind us, we pray today, of the importance of faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.